Thank you, Brian.
I do ask for your prayers. The subject I feel led to speak about tonight has probably, well, Brian said it last week, just in what I could talk about. I could preach 5 or 6 sermons, I suppose. And yet, I felt to go in one direction tonight. I was especially touched this morning when, during our service, the thoughts that I had intended to present tonight were somewhat expressed to us there, and to me it was another witness of God, which I don't, you know, I'm not amazed anymore at how He does things. I'm not amazed at how He sets them up. I'm not amazed at how He moves upon different men and women to get about His message, to get about what we need to hear. I would like to begin in Romans chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17. This may sound familiar if you were here last week. It was the text that our assistant pastor used to begin his sermon. And as I was sitting up here listening to him begin his sermon, and he read these two verses, I began to understand that I also had a sermon to preach from these. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know, as I consider these two verses, I find the statement is made in the end, the just shall live by faith. This is what I want to talk about tonight. This is what I feel led to talk about. The just shall live by faith. What was it that here in the first part of verse 17, verse 16 told us about the gospel of Christ, that He wasn't ashamed of it. In verse 17 says, "For therein," what? In what? "In the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed." We find when we read the Word of God, we read the gospel of Christ, that when we read in those words, we find the character of God is revealed to us. He says it's revealed from faith to faith, from my faith to your faith. It is revealed what is there about God. What is it that makes us have faith in Him? It's revealed in the gospel of Christ. It tells us about His love, about His long-suffering, about His power, about His gentleness, His mercies. It tells us about the whole character of God. Tells us about His righteousness, His faithfulness. Why is that important? It's hard to believe in something that you can never be sure of, isn't it? Our faith is grounded, it is built upon the gospel of Christ and upon the character of God Himself, upon His righteousness, His faithfulness. And that is the only thing in which our faith can be grounded. Otherwise, we would be never knowing. This word just says the just shall live by faith. You know, this word is almost the same word as that, the word righteousness, the word there, for therein is the righteousness of God. Those are, and then it says the just shall live by faith. Well, in one place, righteousness was what was written down, and in the other, just. And so, talking about us, equitable in character or act, by implication, innocent. The innocent, the holy, the just, the righteous shall live by faith. This is what I want to talk about tonight. I was, you know, I don't often tell my wife what I'm going to preach about. I just don't do it very often. Last night, I kind of spilled the beans. I told her what I was kind of going to talk about and some of it. When our brother Gordon stood up today, he quoted a scripture, and my wife looked straight over at me, and we both understood That scripture that he quoted is in Hebrews chapter 11. And that I had written down. And I would like to turn there. I think this is probably one of the most familiar scriptures to many of us. If I asked you here tonight, what is the definition of faith? How many of you could get pretty close to quoting what the definition given in Scripture is? What's the definition? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, that's verse 1 of chapter 11. That sounds great, but has anybody ever had a problem understanding just exactly what he's talking about? We don't use words like that anymore. We don't, you know, every time I look at it, you know, to me, not that it isn't a great definition, it is, but I just didn't understand what it's trying to tell me until I look it up and try to understand. Verse 1 there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay, that's great. What does it mean? Well, substance says it's a setting under, it's a support. It's a support. Faith is not something that's built on nothing. There is something to support a belief. There's grounds to support. There's an essence, an assurance, something you can have confidence in. So faith is, you know, we've often heard blind faith. I'm not a big believer in blind faith. You have to believe in something. There's got to be some reason. Evidence is a proof. It's a proof. It's a conviction. There's also the word used here, it's reproof. And if we would look in 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 16... He talks about the Word of God. It's the same word that this word evidence is. And in this term, it's talking about the Word of God. And it says it's profitable for reproof. For what? For proving your faith. The Word of God is profitable to us for that. For proving our faith. And so, faith is something that we do hope for. That we got grounds to hope for it. You know, I was trying to think of an example. And I have to give you one about things that were written. You know, years ago, I remember when a book was written about my grandfather, called From Thunder to Breakfast. Many of you know that. In this book, there's a little chapter in there that talks about my grandfather's boxing career. It says that one time he was slated to fight Jack Dempsey. Well, you know, a kid like me, proud of his grandfather, I went to school after reading this, you know, and I told some of my friends. And, you know, this is a big, tall tale to them. And in my mind, well, I heard it. I read the book. So, you know. And so my belief was shaken for a moment because it was challenged. My faith was challenged in what my grandfather said. And so there were several things. Now, I had to have a reason for this belief that maybe this was true. I wasn't there. So I don't really know. Maybe it was a big, tall story. And so in seeking this, I had several experiences in several years. When I was in fifth grade, I broke my arm. It gave me an opportunity to spend time with my grandfather. Time to really get to know my grandfather. I'll never forget the many days John and I had walked down to the barn when he was 70 years old and he'd be working out on a punching bag. And it would be flowing with a rhythm, and try as we might, we could never achieve what he had achieved. I was convinced he knew something to begin with. And so there was now grounds for me to believe that, you know, this could be possible. And then hearing my dad tell stories about how good of a fighter he was. Then I remember people like my Uncle Joe saying, "There's nobody in this world ever whipped me but your granddad." I became convinced, and I talked to some guys on the fire department that had known of him, talked to some of the people they knew. Because of these witnesses, I became convinced in my heart. I believe he was. Well, this is just a little example to try to relate what it really means. Why do we have the beliefs we do? Why do we believe in the Book of Mormon? Is there support for it? Is there grounds to make us begin to believe that it could be true? Do we have evidence to support that belief? We do. We do. It's the same thing we believe about Christ. He rose from the dead. Or we believe in the resurrection of the dead, in salvation to the soul. Why? Because it's written in the gospel of Jesus Christ that it's possible. That's not proof, is it? But it is grounds to begin this belief, this faith that we must have. Then we find in there that this God who created the world and all things in it came down and He died. Where do you think our belief would be if it ended right there? If that was the end of the story that was recorded, it would be like Brian said today. We'd be reading history. And the only purpose would be to read. It wouldn't mean a thing to us. Had it end of story. He died. Well, why should we believe in this guy, you know? Jay read this morning in Acts, and what did the Lord commission him to do? Remain here in Jerusalem until that Holy Spirit comes upon you, and He says, then you're going to witness for Me. I want to talk a little bit about the power of a witness. How powerful is it that you and I can go to what things that are written from people that were there? I know Brian could probably tell us, maybe Glenn, in a court of law, do the jury always absolutely know to begin with? No, they don't. They got to hear testimonies. They got to have witnesses come and say, I saw this and I saw that. And this builds their faith in what they believe is right and true. And so for you and I, our faith is grounded in a witness. And these witnesses are the resurrection of Christ. This is where our faith became grounded. And then because of our own experiences with that Spirit that Jay talked about today, our faith becomes grounded and unshaken. If we read verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Our brother Gordon read this today. How important is it? Does God reward us for a professed faith? For saying the words, I believe? Is that reward? That's just empty air. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. I hope that settles in tonight, because this is a great deal of what I would like to talk about. Diligence. You know, this whole chapter 11, if we continue to read it, is one witness after another. One after another of why it's believable. Of all these men that believed because of things that happened in their life, of men that were faithful and diligent in what God commanded them to do. We're going to talk about that as we go along. Some of these examples. Right now I want to talk about how faith grows. How does faith grow? In Alma, the 16th chapter, you're going to find it on page 422. We find that the Scriptures bear out a truth that God has shown us in nature itself, which we'll talk about after we read it. Alma 16, page 422. I'm going to start in verse 143. And now, as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if ye have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true. We hope for things which are not seen, which are true. And now, behold, I say unto you, and I would that ye should remember that God is merciful unto all who believe on His name. Therefore, He desireth in the first place that you should believe, yea, even on His word. Our faith that's grounded in Christ must begin with His Word. It can't begin with my Word. My Word is changing. It's got to begin with His Word. And now He imparteth His Word by angels unto men, yea, and not only men, but women also. The Lord imparts His Word to men and women. And this is not all. Little children do have words given unto them many times, which doth confound the wise and the learned. And now, my beloved brethren, as ye have desired to know of me what ye shall do, because ye are afflicted and cast out, now I do not desire that you should suppose that I mean to judge you only according to that which is true. For I do not mean that ye all of you have been compelled to humble yourselves. For I verily believe that there are some among you which would humble themselves, let them be in whatsoever circumstances they might. Well, he's talking to some people that were compelled to be humble. Now, as I said concerning faith, that it is not a perfect knowledge, even so it is with my words. Ye cannot know of their surety at first unto perfection, any more than faith is a perfect knowledge. But behold, if ye will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until ye believe in all manner, in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words. Now we will compare the word unto a seed. What did the Lord compare faith to? An amount. What seed? The mustard seed. Which I forgot to bring. I had one, forgot to bring it. But you've seen it before. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your unbelief, that ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, ye will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good. For it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. And now behold, would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea, nevertheless it hath not grown up to a perfect knowledge. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, and then ye must needs say that the seed is good, for behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith? Yea, it will strengthen your faith, for ye will say, I know that this is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, are ye sure that this is a good seed? I say unto you, yea, for every seed bringeth forth unto its own likeness. Therefore, if a seed groweth, it is good, but if it groweth not, behold, it is not good, therefore it is cast away. And now behold, because ye have tried the experiment and planted the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, ye must needs know that the seed is good. And now behold, is your knowledge perfect? Yea, your knowledge is perfect in that thing, and your faith is dormant. You know it was good. You know it was good. And this because you know, for ye know that the word has swelled in your souls, and ye also know that it hath sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to enlighten, and your mind doth begin to expand. Oh, then, is not this real? I say unto you, yea, because it is light, and whatsoever is light is good, because it is discernible, therefore you must know that it is good. And now, behold, after ye have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that you might try the experiment to know if the seed was good. Behold, as the tree beginneth to grow, ye will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. And now behold, if ye nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if ye neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withereth away, and ye pluck it up and cast it out. Now this is not because the seed was not good, neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable, but it is because your ground is barren, and ye will not nourish the tree, therefore ye cannot have the fruit thereof. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. But if ye will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious. which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith, and your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. We find several important aspects in this reading. The first one is that faith is something that must grow. You know, I don't know very many people, and I'm not a big believer that the faith just comes, boom. You know, all of a sudden, I'm just a huge believer. It's just like our little children. I see little children here. How many of us are parents? Raise your hand. We've got a good number of parents. How many of you have little brothers or sisters? Well, some of you may be babies of the family and may not remember it, or maybe you're an only child. If you don't have kids of your own, it'll be hard for you to understand what I'm saying. But you know, when you bring babies home, little kids, they begin to grow. And they look at mommy and daddy, and mommy and daddy supply all their needs. Just, you know. And what is life itself? God gave us life so we could what? It was a type. The things that we can do in this life are a type of what God does for us. And so we have mommies and daddies. You know, I remember when my little girl was ready to walk. And Jennifer was saying, she's taking a few steps, you know. And I'd get her there at the wall and say, come on, honey. Come on. Come to daddy. Well, you know, she'd hesitate. The closer you got, the more willing she was. And pretty soon, here she comes. And she knew I was going to grab her. She knew I was going to hold her. And then what happens? I take a step back. Come on, honey. You can do it. You can do it. This is the way we are. This is also the way God is. There are steps to faith. You don't start out, you know, I don't know people that began with the gift of faith. I do believe that people, some people are more believing to begin with. I have a daughter that has always trusted me more than my son, although my son loves me. My daughter trusts me that I will take care of her. She would jump from the roof if I said jump. Now, if I say jump to him, I don't know, Dad. I don't think I'm quite ready for this. But this is how we are, and this is how our heavenly parent looks at us. We begin these steps. You know, the more I do with my daughter, the more confidence she has in my abilities. The more time I spend with my son, the more he knows that his dad would never hurt him, that his dad is always concerned for his welfare. The more time you and I spend, and you know it was hammered in here, this word. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the more confidence you have in His ability. Why? Because you read the witnesses. You find that the substance, the reasons for believing, and you find the witnesses that tell you, this happened to me. This is truth. God is able to do this. I find the more time when I was growing up, the more time I spent with my dad, you know what? The more I understood my dad. We could go on a missionary trip. I'll bet you my uncle could do it. We go on a missionary trip and a certain subject comes up and my dad takes off. And you know what? I was with him so long or enough in my life that I would turn to the scripture he was going to go to and I'd hand it to the person before he turned to it and before he ever said a word. Because I was with him and I knew him. I knew where he was headed. The more you do with God, the more time you spend, whether it be in meditation, in study, in prayer, the more you know him. The more you know what he expects of you. The more you know how faithful he is. The word is something that our faith is something that must grow. It cannot remain dormant. If it remains dormant, it's because our ground is barren. We have not given time to nourish it. Our faith must be nourished. Our faith does come by experiences with God through time. Our faith builds by experiences with God through time. Matthew 17 tells us a story. Maybe it's a jump up in faith. But it brings out this with the Lord Himself. In Matthew 17, verse 14, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. You might remember that Christ sent his disciples out, and he told them, heal the sick, cast out devils. He gave them a list of things. He told them, do this. And they went and they did as the Lord commanded. And yet this man came with his son and he was unsuccessful. They didn't cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Have you ever given your child a task that you didn't think they could accomplish? How many of us parents have done it? Go clean your room. I tell Zachary, go clean your room. I can't. So, you know, that's kind of a big task. And you say, okay, pick up your books and put them on the shelf. Okay, well, he can do that, you know. He'll get started and then he'll find a book and then he's sitting down reading the book. But the concept is, and the idea is that I do believe that God, these guys are in this position. He hadn't told them. He hadn't given them the rest of the instruction yet. This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. And this faith that was built was going to have this step in order to build it. And so, you know, as we begin, life itself teaches us what God expects of us, how our faith can grow. I find it there with my kids. Every time I think, I'm so thankful to God for children. I've learned so much about what He expects from what and what He's like to me. I know that when I give my son or my daughter a task, and they're diligent, and it doesn't turn out perfect, that I feel a whole lot better about them than when I give them a task and they just refuse to do it. And I got to look at God this way as He sees us. You know, He gives us a task. He gives us commandments and He says, do them. And for those that are striving with diligence and all their heart to do them, it's easy to overlook our imperfections. It's easy to claim that gift of Jesus Christ and His mercy because of our repentance. And yet when we don't, our faith begins to lack. Why is that? How many of you have ever been in the doghouse with your dad or your mom? You know, before that's taken care of, you know, my dad had a system and we got sent to the room. That's where we were. We're sent to the room. My sisters can tell you, you lived in mortal fear until he got in there because you knew what was coming. You know, that wasn't really an appropriate time to say, hey, Dad, can we go out for ice cream? You know, we couldn't ask for a favor when we were in his doghouse and expect it to be granted. And you know, I look at the Lord this way when He looks at us, you know. Sometimes when we're in the midst of sin, when we're in the midst of not doing what we know we should be doing, or spending our time on our own things, we want special favors. Well, the Lord has a problem with that, just like we do if our kids said that to us. It's understandable. We know why. There's a scripture that tells us in James chapter 2, a very important concept about faith. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Question mark? Can it? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Question mark. What does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You know, I looked up that word dead. It means a corpse. How many uses do we have for that? Can't do anything. If you're a corpse, you're not going to do anything. Yea, a man may say, I have faith. Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There's the second time he said it. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye may see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. He said three times. You know, oft times when the Lord wants you to get something that's important, He'll say it more than once. Three times, faith without works is dead. We can come here to church and we can say we believe, but if we do not do according to that belief, if we do not keep the commandments, our faith is dead. Let's talk about why. I just mentioned our little being in trouble, you know, asking for favors. How many of us ever believed that our parents would give us a favor when we were in trouble? Did you really believe they would? No. You began to disbelieve. You can't believe it because you know it's not true. Because you know it can't happen. If your sins get in the way of your faith, it does you no good. It becomes dead because you're barren. You can't have faith without your works. You can't build your faith without building your work in the gospel of Christ. Without reaching out to Christian endeavor, you won't build your faith. You will remain dormant. When the trials of life are upon you, there is where you will remain in misery, because your faith will be unbuilded. Because faith, remember, the just shall live by it. It's a way of life. It's not a statement. It's not a feeling. It's a way of life. And without living it, it is dead. You're not a witness. How can you witness your faith to somebody if you never live your faith? You say it's important to feed the poor and you don't. How can you be a faithful witness? Well, I don't want to end on this. I want to talk about how we build it. What are some of the building blocks? What are the important things for us? We live in a day when faith is not the norm. We live in a day where a profession of faith may be the norm for many Christians. Oh yeah, I believe. Well, all the guys I know in my station that profess belief, you could never see it by their life. They do not live their faith. They only profess a belief. 2 Nephi chapter 13. You might want to hold your place there in James. I'm going to jump to a scripture real close to it. 2 Nephi chapter 13. Tells us about you and I. Page 162. In verse 27, And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. You know, we got into the path. To get into the Church of Christ, to have gotten to the waters of baptism, you had to believe in His Word. I hope you didn't take it on my word or some other minister's word. If this is true, you had to take it on God's Word itself. And you had to begin to have a faith that was unshaken. Well, what is shaken? It's firm. An unshaken faith is firm. If your faith begins to shake, that brings all kinds of things into our mind. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. Again, diligence to do His command, to keep His commandments, to be involved in Christian endeavor. Having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward feasting, what is that? A large meal? Feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. So we know our faith to remain unshaken is a process. If you stop there after baptism, your faith will become shaken. You will fall. You must press forward steadfastly, diligently. You must feast. You must read. You know, I find this is that it still may be a problem. I hope you're trying to deal with it in your own life. I hope it's that you deal with it in your own life, that you get time in reading the Word of God. You make time. It is bedrock. It is the biggest source of faith building you could ever have. The Word of God. It was there for you. Continue to read it. Feast upon it. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. If we start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I can imagine this man being one of the witnesses, how he must have felt the day he saw Him crucified. But he was begotten again to a lively hope when he saw the Lord and Savior raised from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He speaks of this trial of our faith. You know, this is a building block of life. We do this ourselves. I'm going to tell you a story. It's kind of funny today. But, you know, when I was considering this, how does this make sense to me, you know? How can I couple this with the way we live, with real life? I see there's something in a man, and my wife can get after me sometimes about it. It should be coupled with more love and consideration, but we have this drive to never see our kids fail. We challenge them. I remember before I had kids, before I was married, that I went on a hunting trip with our brother Moser and Aaron and Adam Gordon. I remember Jay was in this challenging phase. We took off walking, and Aaron was going to keep up or else. I don't believe Jay would have ever left him. But Jay was determined. Aaron was going to know this is real life. You may have to suffer a little bit, but you can stay with me. And he'd just take off walking. I'd see Aaron back there. Being the kind of guy I was, not understanding fathers yet at the time, because I wasn't one, I kind of laid back with Aaron, you know, tried to encourage him and Adam. Come on, guys, come on. And we could see Jay up there, you know, and he'd look back every once in a while and keep on going. But you know, God does these kind of things to us. Jay mentioned it today, how sometimes we feel alone. Now, I think Aaron knew Jay really wouldn't leave him, let him get lost. But he challenged him. My little boy the other day, I was outside working and he'd been inside sleeping, and I was in the backyard and I could hear him crying in the house, and I went in the house. "What's wrong?" "I thought you left me." I said, "You know, son, I would never leave you home by yourself. This is what God says to us. He'll never leave us. Yet sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we're challenged by a trial of our faith." You know, my granddad had a little, maybe the cowboy, if a buck bronks you off, you get back on him. God doesn't want us to be conquered by the things of this world. He made men, and I believe women, to want to see our kids excel, to overcome the pitfalls. You know, I see my little daughter fall off the jungle gym outside, and I'm not a guy that hurries to pick her up. I'm just not. "Get up, dear. Get up." Why? Because when life gets bad, I want her to know that she doesn't have a right to just lay there. And when things get bad for us, we just can't lay there and expect God to do it all. That it takes something from us. This is what life teaches us. This is what God teaches us. You're going to have trials and you're going to have troubles and you're going to have manifold temptations. And you're going to be challenged. But you know He'll always be there. And you know you can always depend on Him to help you. When my daughter's trying to do something in her room that she's not big enough to accomplish, Dad will always come move the furniture. This is what God does for us to build our faith. Challenges us. Praise God for it. Think of Paul, you know. He says, "I delight in affliction, in infirmities, in troubles, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Not because of himself, because of God's power. We've heard the testimonies. We hear testimonies of men working in the vineyard of the Lord. We hear of great and marvelous things concerning them. Because, A, they're diligent. When they're out there, they're being diligent in the command that God's given them and the calling He's given them. And when they work in that diligence, the Lord of the vineyard works with them. Their faith grows, they build their own faith. It continues to grow. Thank God for the trials of our faith. He ends here talking about obedience, the need again for obedience. This is where faith is shown, in our obedience, no matter what it means. If you're a witness, be prepared. If you say you believe in the Book of Mormon, be prepared. Accept the persecution. It's a builder of your faith. It's a challenge to you. If your doctrine that you believe in is challenged, thank God, because you have an opportunity to review your faith again, to build it, to get close to God, to ask, "Is this the way?" Let's turn to page 194 in the Book of Mormon. This is the Book of Enos. In the Book of Enos, we read about this young man. He had a father that taught him the truthfulness of the gospel. It says, "And it came to pass that I," in the first verse, "that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language, and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God before I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father sung deep in my heart." Again, there was a reason. There was some grounded thing in which to begin to ask God, to believe in Him. "And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto Him in mighty prayer and supplication for my own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto Him, yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed." Can you see this? I see it every day as a father. When I get after my son, and how overjoyed I am when he says, "Dad, I'm sorry." I can't ever think of myself. This to me is where part of our faith must come. I can never think of myself being someone that, you know, and you know, my son being the age he is, 5 or 6 times a day we go through this. It's a real thing. It's not an expression that Jesus made when he says, if your brother comes to you 7 times. It's a real thing in the real world. People still will come to you for troubles. They may offend you more than once in a day. And when I can see it through the eyes of a father, that I'm encouraged. When my son humbles himself to come to Dad, knowing that I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to love him and I'm going to accept him because of his diligence to come to me. Here we find Enos before our God. This is something your faith should be built on. I know people that say, "I'm not good enough." But you must look at God as He is, the Father. He is the Father. We know we are not good enough. And yet, because of His great love, just as we have for our children, it is done. Enos began by repenting to the Lord all day long. And then the Lord told him, "Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed." And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. Wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I said, "Lord, how is it done?" He saith unto me, "Because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen. And many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore, go to it, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now it came to pass that when I heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brother and the Nephites. Wherefore I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came in my mind again, saying, "I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. Wherefore I will visit thy brethren according as I have said, and their transgressions will I bring down with sorrow upon their own heads." And after that, I, Enos, had heard these words, my faith began to be unshaken in the Lord. And I prayed unto him with many long strugglings for my brethren, the Lamanites. I find that there's a progression in our faith, even as his. He took care of his own problems first, his own sins, that faithlessness that separated him from God. Till when the Lord forgave him, he began to grow in his faith. Then what did he do? He wasn't concerned about himself. He went on praying for others. His faith continued to grow till it became unshaken. The last thing he began to pray for was his enemies, that God would show them the gospel of salvation. Page 552. Just a few verses here in Helaman chapter 2. We find another thing you can do to build your faith. And we're going to start in verse 29. "In the 51st year of the reign of the judges, there was peace also, save it were the pride which began to enter into the church. And not into the church of God, but into the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the church of God. And they were lifted up in pride, even to the persecution of many of their brethren. Now this was a great evil, which did cause the more humble part of the people to suffer great persecutions, and to wade through much affliction. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God." Again, their faith grew only after what? They were sanctified. They were cleansed from their sin, and they were diligent. Their faith became firmer because of their diligence, because of the time they spent, even as it is in our lives. The more time we spend with our folks as kids, the more we understood their abilities. So it is with God. Our faith becomes firmer the more time we spend with Him in prayer, in fasting, in study. If we turn to page 175, This is Jacob chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 4. For this intent have we written these things, that they may know, this is their children, that they may know that we knew of Christ, and we had a hope of His glory. Many hundred years before His coming, and not only we ourselves had a hope of His glory, but also all the holy prophets which were before us. Behold, they believed in Christ, and worshipped the Father in His name, and also we worship the Father in His name. And for this intent we keep the law of Moses, it pointing our souls to Him. And for this cause it is sanctified unto us for righteousness, even as it was accounted unto Abraham in the wilderness, to be obedient unto the commands of God in offering up his son Isaac, which is a similitude of God and his only begotten Son. Wherefore, we have searched the prophets, and we have many revelations in the spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope. And our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. I believe firmly that there are three things which make our faith respond. Obedience to God. Is the first. As we mature in our spiritual life, as we begin to understand God better, our faith can grow. We begin to understand His abilities that we didn't know, just as a child. And the last thing that is, these things are coupled with a need. Faith always grows in some need. I find it so many times in Scripture as I consider it, that it was a need that presented us. You know, that presented to someone that built their faith. How many of you pray for food tomorrow? No, most of us go home, got a shelf full of food. We don't have any need for food, so why do we need faith? To think that we'll get it. Sometimes it makes it hard. We take for granted that which we have. I find that there, in times of great need, is when faith itself is its strongest. We have many needs. They are before us. For some in the Bible times, it was the lepers that nobody could heal. That brings you to a place in life, doesn't it? Nobody could heal them. There was nothing that anybody could do save God Himself. And so they went to Jesus with their need. And because of it, because of their faith, many of them are healed, those that went to Him. And so, these things are something we need to consider. We do have needs. And when needs are there, our faith must grow. They must reach. Find the story that we heard about this young man that swallowed the poison. There was a need. It was immediate. And faith was called for. It had to be faith from also a life lived. You can't generate faith like that. It isn't generated like that. At least that's not consistent with the teaching in Scripture. Faith is something because of our relationship. I would like to close on page 775. We know this reading very well. It's the end of our Book of Mormon. It's a challenge to you and I who have read it. It speaks somewhat of the gifts of the Spirit. In verse 3, I'm going to begin. Behold, I would exhort you that when you read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that you would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men, from the creation of Adam, even down until the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder it in your hearts. It's important that when we read these things, we ponder them in our hearts. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are true. And if ye ask with a sincere heart and with real intent, having faith in Christ, and He will manifest the truth of it unto you. By the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. Again, that little thing there that I didn't mention when I said there was three things. There was obedience There was maturity of the faith, of your faith, of your knowledge of God, and there was need. I didn't throw in the Holy Spirit there. And He's the wild card, you know. He's there for us. He builds our faith. He gives us strength. And whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that He is. And ye may know that He is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God. For He worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today and tomorrow and forever. God does work by our faith, as He always has. There's no change in Him. And again, I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. How do you suppose these gifts are granted? Do you suppose that just all of a sudden the Lord looks down and says, "Oh gosh, I'd like Jim Yates to have the gift of knowledge." Boom. There it is. Think, you know, the more I've considered it, I don't believe that's the way it is at all. If you want knowledge, what do? You get in your books. And you get diligent. And you start reading. And you start studying. And you start asking questions. And more questions. And more questions. Just like Alma did. He wanted to know, "Lord, I want to know what happens after you die. The Scriptures are kind of vague. Could you give me some insight?" Well, he was given the gift of knowledge. But he was diligent in his searching for it. If we want the gift of wisdom, I found in the church that there was a time when we didn't take care of matters before us, when the ministry didn't make judgments, we became laxed in our judging abilities because we didn't use them. We didn't need them. The more we use what God's given us, the more opportunity there is that He grant us a gift. I'm going to skip over. We know the rest of these gifts. Verse 12, "And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally, according as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise inherit, be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said to our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. Now I would speak unto the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and the gifts of God should be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case, for there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one." Why? Because if you don't do good, you cannot have faith. Your faith is dead. And these things end without faith. "And I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh that ye shall know that I lie not, for ye shall see me at the bar of God. And the Lord God will say unto you, did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man?" Well, we know that these things are important. We also know we live in a day and an age when faith, then when we have a need of great faith. I've read to you the Scriptures that tell us how we can build it. And now you must be diligent in your seeking to do so. And if you are diligent, you shall see the gifts more prevalent among us. You shall see in your own life a better relationship with the Lord. And so I challenge you with these things. I feel it's a great need that we have. Be mindful that faith must have works, or it is dead.
if you do not immerse yourself in a desire to serve your brothers and sisters in God in whatever way you can, you know, it's not just the ministry that need to go to someone when someone's got a trouble. You can go pray for them. That's acceptable to God. There are many things you can do. Take note of these things. Work with them in your lives. Spend time in God's Word. And your faith will truly grow. Thank you.
18th for a day of fast. 272.